so we can start the service. And let me start by saying a very, very warm welcome to all of you who are in the church this morning, and a welcome to all of those who are listening to this service streamed live now or later on in the day or the week. You are all welcome. The service this morning comes to you from All Saints, Fordham and 8 Ash Green, and as those of you who are in the church will know, it comes from Fordham All Saints. I have the privilege of leading this morning, and I have a great team of assistants. My son David and Helen Main, who will be doing the readings for us. Irene Bale, who will be leading our intercessions. The Havers family, who have the important job of lighting 4 Advent calendars and praying the Advent collect. And Jeanette Miller, who will be giving a talk for the children. And of course, finally but not least, Francis Blight, who will be opening up the scriptures to us. This Sunday, so close to Christmas, is the fourth Sunday in Advent. And it's natural for us to look firstly to Christmas and that first Advent of the Christ child. But we have learned over this period that Advent looks forward to that second coming, not of the baby, but of Christ in glory. So let me begin by praying. Lord, in these dark COVID times, help us to look not only to Christmas, but beyond that to the second coming, assured of our place in your new creation by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again, that we might die and then rise to living glory in the ever after. Amen. I now invite the Havers family to come up and light the Advent candles and give us the collect. Thank you for doing that, lighting those candles, a light in a dark world. We now come to our first hymn this morning, In the Bleak Midwinter, appropriately perhaps, Light in the Darkness, after which David will give us our first reading, followed by Jeanette's talk to the children.
Thank you. The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We've just heard that reading of the angel coming to Mary. And Mary, we don't know how old she was, but she probably would have been a teenager. Just an ordinary girl who was going to be married to Joseph. She was betrothed, but a legal agreement, but they weren't quite husband and wife yet. And an angel comes to Mary. And the angel says to her, "Greetings, you're highly favoured, the Lord is with you." But Mary's troubled. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favour with God. God is pleased with you, Mary. And you're going to have a baby, a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus." Now, Mary could have said, "But I'm so young. I don't know much about babies. And, well, I'm not very experienced. And I know you say that you're pleased with me, but am I good enough? Are you sure you've got the right person?" The angel came to Mary and said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby, a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. And he'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High." Mary could have said, "But what are people going to think? Because I'm not married to Joseph yet, and I'm going to be having a baby. What are people going to say? They might say horrible things to me. They might not want to be my friend anymore. What are people going to think?" The angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, a son. You're going to call him Jesus. And he'll be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be a king, because the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Mary could have said, but I've got plans. You know, I'm going to get married to Joseph, and he's a carpenter. And you should have seen the kitchen that he's put in at his mother's house. Oh, it's fantastic. And he's going to make a huge oak table with dining chairs. And I'm going to invite all my friends round, and we're going to have such fun. And really, a baby doesn't fit into that. I've got plans. The angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, a son. You're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be a king, because the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he is going to reign forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary could have said, well, wait a minute. I'm a bit busy, you see, because on Monday I go and visit my grandma, and she just lives outside Nazareth, and it's a bit of a walk, and I don't really want to drag a baby there. And Tuesday, well, I'm having cookery lessons, because I want to be like that other famous Mary, Mary Berry, and cook lovely meals for Joseph when we get married. And Wednesday, well, my mum insists that I have to do some housework so that when I'm married, I can be a good wife. And Thursday, well, that's the day I volunteer at the Help the Poor charity shop on Nazareth High Street. So I have to do that. Of course, then it's the Sabbath. And I have to go to the synagogue, and, well, I don't think a baby fits into that scenario. I'm just too busy. The angel came to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, a son. You're going to call him Jesus, and he is going to be great, called the Son of the Most High. And he's going to be a king. And he's going to reign forever. His kingdom is never going to end. Mary could have said, but I'm too young. She could have said, I'm inexperienced. She could have said, what are people going to say? She could have said, but I've got plans. She could have said, but I'm too busy. But what she actually said was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I wonder this morning if God speaks to us and calls us. How are we going to respond? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said.
Thank you for that talk, Jeanette. I now invite you to join with me in confessing our sins. And we're going to use a particular Advent introduction now before this confession. And this and all the responses can be found on the notice sheets. So the introduction. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. So together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I invite Helen Main to come up and give us our second reading.
Our reading continues in Luke chapter 1, and we'll continue at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Helen. We've now heard from the scriptures, and I now invite you to stand so that we can declare our faith in the Apostles' Creed. So, brothers and sisters, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God the Father, mighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Francis is now going to come up and give us our talk.
May I add my welcome as well? So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, following on from Jeanette's children's talk. So do have the Bible open if you've got a copy with you, maybe a physical copy or a digital copy. And let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, as we approach Christmas, we come to consider the birth of the Lord Jesus and its meaning. And today we consider the place of Mary in your purposes. We ask that you would open our eyes to see fresh things in your scriptures. We pray you teach us, Father, that we might have hope and encouragement, particularly at this COVID time. We look to you. And we ask that you would magnify the Lord Jesus in our hearts and minds. Amen. So at Christmas time, we focus on the birth of Jesus and the wonderful hope that he gives to those who put their trust in him. Today's Bible reading gives us important background to his birth. If Jesus' birth is the main story of Christmas, today's readings are the prequel. Now, this talk has quite a long introduction, and then I've got 3 points. There are headings on page 4 of today's service sheet to help you as a guide through. I think those points will appear on the screen as well. Luke starts his gospel about Jesus by telling us why he wrote it. Chapter 1, verse 4. So that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. He investigated everything about Jesus from the beginning. So Luke wants his readers to have confidence in the message about Jesus. And to that end, he researched right back to before Jesus' birth. Here at All Saints Church, we want you to be confident in the Christmas Good News message as well. And Luke's gospel strengthens our confidence and helps us today. Luke investigated everything from the beginning, so he tells us the backstory to the amazing events of Jesus' adult life. This humble young woman, Mary, perhaps only a teenager, as Jeanette said, is visited by an angel. Not any angel, but the angel Gabriel, the big cheese. He tells her, chapter 1, verse 31, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus." Gabriel continues in verse 36, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was barren," meaning that she was unable to have children, "is in the sixth month of her pregnancy. For nothing is impossible with God." After receiving God's message to her through Gabriel, Mary went to stay with Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. When Mary first arrived in Elizabeth's house and greeted her, an amazing thing happened. Verse 41. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Have a look at verse 44. Elizabeth says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." Now, I wonder if any of you can remember who Elizabeth's baby grows up to be. Elizabeth's baby grows up to be John the Baptist. So John the Baptist and Jesus were related, probably cousins. Last Sunday we focused on John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. John baptized people in the River Jordan and called them to repent. And John famously said this about Jesus: I baptize with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John humbly points the way to Jesus. He points away from himself to Jesus. He didn't consider himself even worthy enough to take Jesus' shoes off, not worthy enough to untie his laces. Well, in today's Bible reading, we see a really cool detail about John the Baptist. Even in the womb, he gives testimony to Jesus. He hears the voice of Jesus' mother, and he starts jumping around inside Elizabeth. The baby leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Now, writer Darrell Bock describes this as fetal testimony. John the Baptist gives fetal praise and testimony to Jesus and his importance. He gives witness from the womb. You know, how cool is that? Go for it, John, testify. Even in utero, John is on message, doing his job, pointing away from himself to Jesus, celebrating Jesus the Messiah, showing him to be Jesus, to be a wonder baby. And well, that's a great example for us, isn't it? John the Baptist pointing away from himself to Jesus. Let's do that ourselves this Christmas time. Point away from ourselves and point to Jesus Christ. Elizabeth blesses Mary, verse 42. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Mary responds to this amazing encounter with a song of praise to God, and that's the main focus of our attention this morning. Mary's song, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This song has come to be known in Christian tradition as the Magnificat. In some churches, these words are regularly said or sung. It's a song of praise to God with some surprising content. It's very Jewish in its feel. It feels and comes across like the Old Testament Psalms. It feels pre-Christian, pre-Jesus, which it is. Mary's the mother of Jesus, but she doesn't yet know how he's going to develop, change, and fulfill the faith that she has been brought up in. She begins in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In other translations, it reads, my soul magnifies the Lord. And we can see the link with the word Magnificat there. This phrase translates the Greek word megalunai, which means to make great, to exalt, to speak highly of, to extol. So with some English words, we might think of the word megaphone, amplifying sound, or magnifying glass, amplifying your ability to see. Or think of the zoom, one of those long zooms on a camera, where you can turn it and you can really see something a long way away, much bigger. Through the words of her song, Mary magnifies God. And is that not the heart of praise? Whether it's for a sports team in a stadium, or a Nobel Prize winner, or for God, praise is about making each of these things bigger, celebrating them so that people know about them. So when we sing, I know we can't sing in church at the moment, but when we sing, when we seek to tell others about Jesus, when we teach our children about God, let us take Mary as our model and magnify the Lord. Praise is the natural response of a heart full of gratitude. So what does Mary magnify God for? Three headings on page 4. Firstly, I'm in the middle of your purposes. Mary's caught up in the middle of God's big plan. Gabriel explains to Mary who her son is going to be, verse 32. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. This is an amazing baby that God is giving to Mary. Try to imagine for a moment that you're going to be pregnant in a few months' time. Perhaps a bit easier for the women here rather than the men. How do you think you would feel about the person that's going to grow inside you? I'd imagine a whole range of thoughts and emotions. Joys, fears, a sense of wonder, expectations of your relationship with your child. What will he or she become? Will you be able to be a good mother to him or her? Well, there's a sense of wonder, isn't there, in any pregnancy? But try to get hold of what it must have been like for Mary. The kid inside her is the Messiah. Her nation has been waiting several hundred years for his arrival. And God has chosen her, an ordinary young woman living in Nowheresville, Nazareth. Why has he chosen her? It's like getting the golden ticket in a Willy Wonka chocolate bar. The person inside her is going to save her nation. So Mary's now at the center of God's purposes. Her boy will be called the Son of the Most High. He's going to be a king. And in terms of God's salvation plan, Mary is going to have the most important person inside her tummy. She's full of praise. Verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's talking about herself. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. She celebrates, I'm going to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Son of God, and she sings it out. The mind boggles at the magnitude of God graciously choosing her for his task. So Mary magnifies the Lord because she has been brought into the middle of his purposes. It makes us reflect again on how extraordinary the humility of Jesus' birth is. An animal feeding trough was his first cot. A humble birth for the King and Savior. Why did God do it this way? Why not a palace fit for a king? Well, I'll leave that question with you to ponder in the run-up to Christmas. What else does Mary magnify God for? Secondly, my son will turn the world upside down. Her baby is going to shake the world. He's going to change the social structures, to change people's status. Consider where Mary is in Jewish history. She lives in the land that God promised to Abraham, but her nation is under the rule of the Romans, pagan idolaters. The Israelites are subject to foreign rule. But her son is going to change things. God turns things upside down, and he's going to do this with her Messiah son, Jesus. God extends mercy, verse 50, to those who fear him, to God-fearers. He lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. In contrast, he scatters those who are proud in their private thoughts. He brings down rulers from their thrones. He sends the rich away empty. Mary's song contrasts the proud versus the humble, the rich versus the hungry, and her son's going to mix things up. I wonder if you can feel the Jewish pre-Jesus vocabulary and perspective. Mary probably thinks that her son is going to drive out the Romans. She's thinking of the Messiah as being someone like King David or King Solomon, who routs the enemy and secures the borders for national prosperity. And why shouldn't she? She doesn't yet understand how Jesus will not only turn the world upside down, but will turn her Israelite religion upside down. He will scatter the proud amongst her own nation, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. He'll bring an end to the fake Jewish dynasty of Herod when Jerusalem is destroyed by the Romans. But in this moment, Mary praises God as best she knows. Thirdly and finally, Mary magnifies the Lord because through her pregnancy, God is keeping his covenant promises to Abraham. Verse 54. God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, as he said to our fathers. God has looked down on his people, the Israelites, and remembered to be merciful to them. He's remembered that they're under Roman occupation. I wonder if that reminds you of anything. Well, the same thing happened when Pharaoh oppressed the Israelites in Egypt. Exodus chapter 2. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham. And so, in response, God raised up Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into the promised land. Mary's son will be the Messiah, a new Moses, to save the Israelites and bring a new Exodus, a new King David to shepherd God's people. God's remembered Israel in their groaning under the Romans. And this shows Mary that God is a covenant keeper who 2,000 years after Abraham is going to keep his promise to the Israelite nation. And she praises God for this. God promised Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Through Jesus, Mary knows that once again, God will bless Israel. But Mary also prophesies what she doesn't yet understand, that through her son, all peoples on earth will be blessed, not just the Jewish people. Jesus is going to open wide the gates of Judaism to bring people of all nations into God's kingdom. And this is where we fit in. Most of us are not Jewish. And yet, if we fear God, if we believe in Jesus, we are welcomed into God's kingdom under King Jesus, the Messiah. From backwater Nazareth comes a king who is now worshipped and honoured by millions of people. All over Britain and Europe, in every town, are buildings like this one, dedicated to Jesus' name. And all over the country are communities of people like our church who follow him and listen to his teachings. All around the world, people are getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus, even amidst the lockdowns and all the complexity of COVID. Well, all this was to come through insignificant, ordinary Mary. So let me summarise as we come to finish. In Luke chapter 1, we get the backstory to Jesus, the Christmas hope. Mary magnifies the Lord. She sings, "I'm in the middle of God's purposes. My son will turn the world upside down. And in his birth, God is going to keep his covenant promises to Abraham." As we come to finish, with Mary, may we worship and magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Saviour. May we praise God for his plan of salvation that includes us, non-Jewish people here in Essex, far away from Israel. Like Mary, we've been included. May we praise him for how he turns the world upside down. And may we praise him that he's a promise keeper and celebrate the fact that he's kept his covenant to Abraham. And in doing that, he's brought us in and included us in his wonderful plan. A moment of quiet for you to reflect on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for choosing the humble and ordinary Mary and bringing her into the centre of your purposes. We thank you that you kept your promise to Abraham through Jesus. We thank you that you're trustworthy. Thank you that you've blessed us by saving us through Mary's baby and drawing us into your big plan for the world. And in the middle of this COVID crisis, we focus our hearts on you. We wait in eager expectation for Jesus' return. Please keep us from pride. Please keep us from developing arrogant and independent spirits because of our riches. Give us spiritual hunger and fill us with good things. Give us hearts that are bursting to glorify you in the way we live our lives, in the words we speak, and in the songs we sing. Amen. Well, our next song is called A King Like This. It's a new Christmas song, and I introduced it this time last year. The chorus really helps us to respond to God's word in worship, magnifying the Lord. So let's worship in our hearts as we listen. Thank you.
We pray for the Brexit talks, that your will may be done, whether it is a mutual trading agreement with the EU or a decision to be completely separated from Europe. We bring before you those conducting the talks and ask you to guide their discussions and their decisions, even at this very late hour. We pray for the Christmas services at Fordham and Atash Green. We pray for the families who join in the Zoom Christingle this afternoon, that they may hear the good news and receive it joyfully. We pray for the outdoor carol service on Christmas Eve, that the evening may be dry and that all the participants will be kept safe. Bless the word to all present, that they may realize the true meaning of Christmas and rejoice in the Lord in spite of the dire state of our country and indeed the whole world. We also pray for the midnight communion service in Atash Green Church in person and for the Christmas Day service in Fordham in person. We thank you that they're still able to take place, and at this time we pray that we will value them even more than usual and take to heart the true message of Mary's child. The Gospel of Luke says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. May we, like Mary, ponder the amazing gift given to us on that first Christmas morning and remember that he came to die to save us from a life of sin and unhappiness. And he rose again to bring us into his eternal joy. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
While we remain still in prayer, let us end our prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer. So together, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Francis is now going to come up and conclude our service by giving us the notices and then a final blessing.
Well, it is great to see you here this morning, particularly some familiar faces where this is the first service that you've made it back to in person. I know it is weird wearing face masks and we can't sing together, but it is great to see you here to worship God together and to listen to his word. This morning we have our festive virtual coffee on Zoom from 11:30 till 12:30. And I look forward to seeing you sporting your Christmas apparel. We'll have a vaguely amusing video and a few weak cracker jokes. And most importantly, we can talk about today's teaching and consider what an amazing thing it is, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The link for that was sent out with the notice sheet to the church email list this week. Then this afternoon, as we've just heard, we have our Zoom Christingle. Looking forward to a fun and creative time together. Now, while there is obviously a focus on children and families for the Christingle, you're welcome to join in whatever your age. And there are spare Christingle kit bags on the table at the back, those brown paper bags, if you'd like to take one. Please don't handle them except to take a specific bag for yourself. And Linda Stenner emailed the Zoom link for that out on Friday. The next Bishop of Chelmsford has been announced. Her name is Guli Frances Dehani. Hope I've pronounced that correctly. Currently, she's the Bishop of Loughborough. And there is a link to a short welcome video from her in the church notice sheet. Our PCC has previously passed a resolution requesting the ministry of Bishop Rod Thomas because of the Bible's teaching regarding male and female roles in church life and in family life. Bishop Rod is currently an assistant bishop in our diocese. With Bishop Guli's appointment, his ministry to us will become even more important. And it would be good to pray that next year, after Bishop Guli has been instituted, that she'll be willing to strengthen Bishop Rod's ministry to us and to other Resolution churches in the Chelmsford Diocese. The unexpected gift nativity video will be available to watch through the church website from this coming Tuesday. This is aimed at children aged up to 10 and their families. Please do share it with friends and family on social media. And if you'd like a free copy of the Unexpected Gift book, please contact the church office. As many of you will have heard, the government made an announcement yesterday about a new strain of the COVID-19 virus, which appears to be more contagious than the first. It seems that it has the same effect as is known so far, but it spreads more easily. And as a result, much of Essex has been moved into a new Tier 4 category. Fordham, Atash Green and Colchester remain in Tier 2. At present, we plan to continue with our programme of Christmas services. Do please pray for God's leading, and it's important to say that you must feel under no pressure or compulsion to attend. Details are on the website. And this year, because of COVID, you must book places for each service you'd like to attend. Details and the specific booking deadlines are all on the church website. So it's Christmas Eve carols by starlight in the car park here in Fordham, Christmas Eve communion 11:15 at the Atash Green Church building, and Christmas Day all-age service here in Fordham at 10 a.m. I also want to recommend the virtual parliamentary carol service, which was published on YouTube last week. It's something to watch and share with others through social media. It's about 40 minutes long, contains traditional carols and also some gospel carols, and there's an encouraging and very helpful Christmas sermon from Mark Harris. Please do also have a look at the service sheet for details of the next Christianity Explored course, which is going to begin in January. And we're going to run this jointly with St. Peter's Colchester. So very pleased about that. Well, we've come to the end of our service. Let's finish with a prayer and a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the birth of Jesus, a gift to us. And we think about this being the reason for the very existence of our church here in Fordham and Atash Green. Thank you that you've called us into his kingdom. And we thank you for Mary and her place in your purposes and her example to us of humble obedience. And we offer ourselves to you, Lord, saying, please use us to do your will this Christmas time. And may Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.